A boy holding a bunch of balloons rises past fluffy clouds toward a crescent moon. A bee approaches and zooms around him as he tries to swat it away. The boy loses hold of the balloons and falls, bumping against the moon on his way down. The bee reclines in the crook of the moon. DreamWorks Animation SKG. Text appears.
According to all known laws of aviation, there is no way that a bee should be able to fly. Its wings are too small to get its fat little body off the ground. The bee, of course, flies anyway, because bees don't care what humans think is impossible.
A view in animation drifts across shelves lined with identical pairs of black and yellow sneakers. Titles appear. DreamWorks Animation presents, in association with Columbus 81 Productions. Walking on two legs, a bee rifles through a rack of identical yellow sweaters with black stripes.
Yellow, black, yellow, black, yellow, black, yellow, black, yellow, black, yellow, black. Ooh, black and yellow. Yeah, let's shake it up a little.
At a sink, the bee styles his short hair using some honey from a hive-shaped dispenser bottle, bearing a human-like face who rinses his mouth with more honey then rolls some onto his underarms.
Barry! Breakfast is ready!
Coming! Oh, hang on a second.
He uses his antenna as a headset.
Hello?
Barry?
Adam?
Can you believe this is happening?
Can't believe it. I'll pick you up.
He slides over to a sharpener and sharpens his stinger.
Looking sharp.
Barry flies out of his room and down along a flight of stairs.
Barry, why don't you use the stairs? Your father paid good money for those.
Sorry, I'm excited.
Here's the graduate. We're very proud of you, son. And a perfect report card. All B's.
Very proud.
Ma, I got a thing going here.
You got some lint on your fuzz.
Ow, that's me.
Wave to us. We'll be in row 118,000.
Bye.
Barry, I told you. Stop flying in the house.
A honeycomb-patterned garage door opens. Barry zooms out in a red convertible, which passes beneath the title in honey-hued letters. B-Movie. Jerry Seinfeld, Renee Zellweger, Matthew Broderick, John Goodman, Patrick Warburg, and Chris Rock. A bespectacled bee reads a newspaper at a curb. The headline reads, Frisbee hits hive, internet down. Barry pulls up and the bee gets in.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Barry. Is that fuzz gel?
A little. It's a special day, finally graduating.
I never thought I'd make it.
Yeah, 3 days of grade school, 3 days of high school.
Those were so awkward.
3 days of college. I'm glad I took off one day in the middle and just hitchhiked around the hive.
You did come back different.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, Artie. Growing a mustache? Looks good.
Hey, did you hear about Frankie?
Yeah.
You going to his funeral?
No, I'm not going to his funeral. Everybody knows you sting someone, you die. You don't waste it on a squirrel. He was such a hothead.
Yeah, I guess he could have just gotten out of the way.
Barry drives through an arch and emerges into a cavernous space with looping roads and colorful buildings. They ride a loop and speed along another road.
I love this, incorporating the amusement park right into our regular day.
I guess that's why they say we don't need vacations.
They park and fly out over a stadium packed with bees and mortarboard graduation caps.
Boy, quite a bit of pomp. Under the circumstances.
They drop into a pair of empty seats and don their caps.
Well, Adam, today we are men.
We are.
Be men.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Students, faculty, distinguished bees, please welcome Dean Buswell.
Welcome, new Hive City graduating class of 915. And that concludes our graduation ceremonies.
Hard hats replace their caps.
And begins your career at Honex Industries.
Are we going to pick our job today?
I heard it's just orientation.
Huh. Whoa, heads up. Here we go.
Their rows of seats transform into trams.
Antennas inside the tram at all times. Mantenga sus manos y antenas adentro del carril en todo momento.
A guide bee flies down into Barry and Adam's tram as it takes the lead.
I wonder what it's going to be like.
A little scary.
Welcome to Honex, a division of Honesco and a part of the Hexagon Group.
This is it.
Double doors slide open before them.
Whoa.
They drive through a massive factory with various contraptions processing different stages of honey production.
We know that you, as a bee, have worked your whole life to get to the point where you can work for your whole life. Honey begins when our valiant pollen jocks bring the nectar to the hive. Our top-secret formula is automatically color-corrected, scent-adjusted, and bubble-contoured into this soothing sweet syrup with its distinctive golden glow you all know as...
Honey!
She tosses a beaker of honey into their midst. A pretty bee catches it.
She's my cousin.
She is?
Yes, we're all cousins.
Right, you're right.
At Hunnex, we also constantly strive to improve every aspect of bee existence. These bees are stress-testing a new helmet technology.
In a testing room, a helmeted bee gets struck by a rolled-up magazine, a fly swatter, and a shoe. Two cans of aerosol spray shower him with a dense mist, and he collapses, only to be struck by swatter, magazine, and shoe altogether. He gives a thumbs up.
What do you think he makes?
Not enough.
And here we have our latest advancement, the Krillman.
Wow, what does that do?
Catches that little strand of honey that hangs after you pour it. Saves us millions.
Adam waves at one of the bees on the Krillman.
Can anyone work on the Krillman?
Of course. Most bee jobs are small ones. But bees know that every small job, if it's done well, means a lot. But choose carefully, because you'll stay in the job that you pick for the rest of your life.
The same job for the rest of your life? I didn't know that.
What's the difference?
Huh?
And you'll be happy to know that bees as a species haven't had one day off in 27 million years. Whew.
So you'll just work us to death?
We'll sure try.
The tram slides down a honey-filled flume. A camera captures all the bees wearing grins or goofy expressions while Barry stares ahead with a worried frown. The tram rolls into a tunnel and double doors bearing the Hunnex logo slam shut behind it.
Wow! That blew my mind!
Later, as they leave the factory.
What's the difference? Adam, how could you say that? One job forever? That's an insane choice to have to make.
Well, I'm relieved. Now we only have to make one decision in life.
But Adam, how could they never have told us that?
Barry, why would you question anything? We're bees. We're the most perfectly functioning society on Earth.
Hey.
A bee guzzles honey from a filling station pump.
Yeah, but Adam, did you ever think that maybe things work a little too well around here?
Like what? Give me one example.
Dense traffic weaves effortlessly around them.
I don't know, but you know what I'm talking about.
Now they arrive at a large hangar.
Please clear the gate. Royal Nectar Force.
Wait a second, check it out. Hey, those are pollen jogs.
Wow.
A squadron of well-built bees fly into the hangar, their abdomens covered in pollen grains and nectar packs strapped to their backs. Wearing matching helmets and jackets, they land on their hind feet.
I've never seen them this close.
They know what it's like to go outside the hive.
Yeah, but some of them don't come back.
Hey, Jock!
The jocks step backwards into customized stations. A team of pit crew bees attach hoses to the nectar packs, emptying them into large tanks, which are then driven away on trucks. The pit crew bees then brush away the pollen from the jocks' jackets and remove their helmets. A gray-haired bee in a military cap and jacket deals out friendly punches.
You guys did great! You're monsters! You sky freaks! I love it! I love it!
I wonder where those guys have just been.
I don't know.
Their day's not planned. Outside a hive, flying who knows where, doing who knows what.
You can't just decide one day to be a pollen jock. You have to be bred for that.
Right.
Pollen rains down on them.
Look at that. That's more pollen than you and I will ever see in a lifetime.
It's just a status symbol. I think bees make too big a deal out of it.
Perhaps. Unless you're wearing it, and the ladies see you wearing it.
Those ladies? Oh, aren't they our cousins, too?
Distant, distant.
Three jocks observe them.
Look at these two.
Couple of hive Harrys.
Let's have some fun with them.
It must be so dangerous being a pollen jock.
Oh, yeah. One time a bear had me pinned up against a mushroom. He had one paw on my throat, and with the other, he was slapping me back and forth across the face.
Oh, my!
I never thought I'd knock him out.
And what were you doing during all of this?
Obviously, I was trying to alert the authorities.
I can autograph that if you want.
Little gusty out there today, wasn't it, comrades?
Yeah, gusty.
You know, we're gonna hit a sunflower patch about 6 miles from here tomorrow.
6 miles, huh?
Barry.
It's a puddle jump for us, but maybe you're not up for it.
Maybe I am.
You are not.
We're going 0900 at J-Gate.
He points at the hangar exit.
What do you think, Buzzy Boy? Are you bee enough?
I might be. It all depends on what 0900 means.
Later that evening, Barry stands on his balcony and watches the dimmed hive interior, its buildings lit up with a soft glow.
Hunnex!
Oh, Dad, you surprised me.
Have you decided what you're interested in, son?
Well, there's a lot of choices.
But you only get one.
Dad, do you ever get bored doing the same job every day?
Son, let me tell you something about stirring. You grab that stick and you just move it around and you stir it around. You get yourself into a rhythm. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, Dad, the more I think about it, maybe the honey field just isn't right for me.
And you were thinking of what? Making balloon animals? That's a bad job for a guy with a stinger.
Well, no.
Janet, your son's not sure he wants to go into honey.
Oh, Barry, you are so funny sometimes.
I'm not trying to be funny.
You're not funny. You're going into honey. Our son, the stirrer.
You're
going
to be a stirrer?
No one's listening to me.
Wait till you see the sticks I have for you.
I can say anything I want right now. I'm going to get an ant tattoo.
Let's open some fresh honey and celebrate.
Maybe I'll pierce my thorax.
To honey.
Shave my antenna.
To honey.
Shack up with a grasshopper. Get a gold tooth. And start calling everybody dog.
I'm so proud.
Daytime, a bus carries away a group of bees from a building with a job placement board. Barry and Adam arrive.
I can't believe we're starting work today.
Today's the day.
Come on, all the good jobs will be gone.
Yeah, right.
Pollen counting, stunt bee, pouring, stirrer, front desk, hair removal.
Is it still available?
Hang on. Two left, and one of them's yours. Congratulations, son. Step to the side, please.
Yeah. What'd you get? Picking the crud out?
Whoa.
That is stellar.
Wow.
Couple of newbies?
Yes, sir. Our first day. We are ready.
Well, step up and make your choice.
They eye the massive flatboard.
You want to go first?
No, you go.
Oh, my. What's available?
Restroom attendants always open, and not for the reason you think.
Any chance of getting on to the Krellman, sir?
Sure, you're on.
He sets a finger-shaped helmet on Adam's head.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Krellman just closed out.
Oh!
Wax Monkey's always open. And the Krellman just opened up again.
Well, what happened?
Well, whenever a bee dies, that's an opening. See that? He's dead, dead, another dead one, deady, deadified, two more dead, dead from the neck up, dead from the neck down. But that's life.
Oh, well, this is so hard. Heating, cooling, stunt bee, pourer, stirrer, humming, inspector number 7, lint coordinator, stripe supervisor, antenna ball polisher, mite wrangler. Barry, what do you think I should... Barry?
He finds Barry gone.
Barry!
Later, Barry peeks out from behind a nectar station.
Got the sunflower patch in quadrant 9.
What happened to you? Where are you?
I'm going out.
Out? Out where?
Out there.
Oh, no!
I have to, before I go to work for the rest of my life.
You're gonna die! You're crazy! Hello?
Oh, another call coming in.
Barry approaches the assembled squadron.
Brave, there's a Korean deli on 83rd that gets their roses today.
Hey, guys.
Well, look at that.
Isn't that the kid we saw yesterday?
Hold it, son. Flight deck's restricted.
It's okay, Lou. We're going to take him up.
Yeah.
Really? Feeling lucky, are you?
He gets a waiver.
Son, here, here. Oh. Just initial that. Thank you.
Okay, you got a rain advisory today, and as you all know, bees cannot fly in rain. So be careful. As always, watch your brooms, hockey sticks, dogs, birds, bears, and bats. Also, I got a couple of reports of root beer being poured on us. Murphy's in a home because of it, just babbling like a cicada.
That's awful.
And a reminder for all you rookies, bee law number 1, absolutely no talking to humans. All right, launch position!
The jocks trot into arrowhead formations.
Black and yellow!
Yellow!
The jocks crouch on all fours.
You ready for this, Hotshot? Yeah. Yeah, bring it on.
Wind. Check.
Antenna.
Check.
Nectar pack. Check.
Wing.
Check.
Stinger. Check.
Scared out of my shorts. Check.
Okay, ladies. Let's move it out.
Pit crew bees set the jocks' wings in motion and remove chocks from behind their feet. Barry crouches in their midst. From a flight control deck, Lou speaks into a megaphone.
Have the petunia, you striped stem suckers! All of you, drain the flower!
A bee in an orange jacket, helmet, and goggles waves baton lights, and the jocks take flight overhead. Lou salutes them as they fly out of the hive. Outside, they proceed between tree branches with Barry among them. The squadron emerges into the open air over a vast city park.
Whoa! I'm out! I can't believe I'm out! So blue!
Barry spreads his arms open at his sides, wearing a bright grin as he flies between colorful airborne kites.
Feels fast and free! Box kite!
He flies through its center. Wow! The bees descend toward a park path and weave through a group of cyclists with blooming trees on either side. They soar over a field of flowers.
Flowers!
One of the jocks activates a visor on his helmet.
This is Blue Leader. We have Rose's visual. Bring it around 30 degrees and hold.
Rose?
30 degrees, Roger. Bringing it around.
The squadron lands on a patch of daisies near other blooms. The jocks fire their nectar packs and long tubes shoot out to embed in varying flowers all around them. Barry approaches one of the jocks.
Stand to the side, kid. It's got a bit of a kick.
He presses a button labeled Nectar on his pack, and the device begins gathering nectar, its hive-like segments expanding.
Oh, that is one nectar collector.
You ever see pollination up close?
No, sir.
I pick up some pollen over here, sprinkle it over here. Maybe a dash over there, pinch on that one. See that? It's a little bit of magic, ain't it?
Wow, that's amazing. Why do we do that?
That's pollen power, kid. More pollen, more flowers, more nectar, more honey for us.
Cool.
The squadron takes off, passing a woman who throws a flying disc. Barry smiles down at the spinning red disc as he flies about an inch above it. As the fleet flies over a pond, Barry notices his reflection in the surface. The bees zoom across a courtyard, then swoop upward over a fountain.
I'm picking up a lot of bright yellow. Could be daisies. Don't we need those?
Blue Leader uses his visor.
Copy that visual.
Hold on. Those flowers seem to be on the move.
Say again? Are you reporting a moving flower?
Affirmative.
Splitting off from the rest of the unit, Blue Leader and his two buddies land on a court amidst scattered tennis balls several times their size. They retract their protective amber visors.
This is the coolest. What is it?
I don't know, but I'm loving this color.
Ah, it smells good. Not like a flower, but I like it.
Yeah, fuzzy.
Chemically.
Careful, guys. It's a little grabby.
Barry lands on a ball.
Sweet Lord of bees.
Hey, Candy Brain, get off there!
Problem?
A human woman picks up the ball with Barry stuck to it.
Guys!
This could be bad.
The woman right bounces ahead. The ball.
Very close. Gonna hurt. Mama's little boy.
You are way out of position, rookie.
The woman serves. Her opponent hits the ball back. Barry stares at the jocks as the ball flies past in slow motion, his hands and feet still stuck to it.
You know, I don't think these are flowers.
Should we tell him?
I think he knows.
What is this?
Now, with his head stuck to the ball, Barry cycles his legs through the air.
Match point! You can just start packing up, honey, because I believe you're about to eat it!
The man glances away distractedly as he swings, sending the ball and Barry soaring out of the court.
Yowza!
It bounces along a street beyond and crashes into the grill of an SUV. Barry is thrown off and into the inner workings of the vehicle. He rides the spinning blade of a fan, then is sucked through an intake pipe into the engine block. A spray of fuel is injected into the chamber and a spark ignites the fuel, propelling Barry out through a gap around the edge of the piston. He pinballs off of red-hot pipes, then flies through a small vent labeled climate control. Inside, he spots a grasshopper frozen stiff.
Ew, gross.
In the passenger seat, a woman turns on the AC, which pulls Barry through a vent. He bounces off her newspaper.
There's a bee in the car! Ah!
Oh!
Ah!
I'm driving!
Hi, bee.
He's back here! He's gonna sting me!
The driver swerves to avoid a cyclist, and Barry is flung into the back seat, where a dog snaps at him. Barry returns to the front of the vehicle.
Nobody move! If you don't move, he won't sting you! Freeze!
Barry grows still.
He blinked!
What are you doing?
An elderly woman in the back sprays an aerosol can at Barry, who flies around to avoid the mist, then escapes through the vehicle's sunroof.
Wow. The tension level out here is unbelievable. I gotta get home. Whoa.
A water drop plummets close beside him, and Barry turns back to see dark clouds rolling in overhead, bringing with them an approaching curtain of raindrops.
Can't find rain. Can't find rain.
As Barry flies away at full speed, a droplet hits him, sending him tumbling. Recovering, he spots a flower box on an apartment windowsill ahead. Barry gets hit by another raindrop.
Mayday! Mayday! Be going down!
He crash lands on the windowsill just as the tennis players arrive.
Ken, could you close the window, please?
Hey, check out my new resume. I made it into a fold-out brochure. You see? Folds out.
Oh, no, more humans. I don't need this.
Now inside, he flies into the windowpane.
Ow! What was that?
What's your point?
Maybe this time. 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 Oh, dreams! That is diabolical.
It's fantastic. It's got all my special skills. Even my top 10 favorite movies.
What's your number one? Star Wars?
Nah, I don't go for that. Pew, 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 pew. Kind of stuff.
No wonder we're not supposed to talk to them. They're out of their minds.
When I walk out of a job interview, they're flabbergasted. They can't believe...
Barry notices a hanging light fixture.
Really? Oh, there's the sun. Yeah. Maybe that's a way out. I don't remember the sun having a big 75 on it.
He flies toward the 75-watt light bulb, bounces off, and falls face-first into a bowl of guacamole.
I gotta tell you, I predicted global warming.
One of the couple's guests unknowingly scoops Barry up on a tortilla chip.
What? Stop! Beast! Stand back. These are winter boots.
Ken's tennis partner arrives.
No,
wait! Don't kill him!
You know I'm allergic to them. This thing could kill me.
Well, why does his life have any less value than yours?
Why does his life have any less value than mine? Is that your statement?
I'm just saying all life has value. You don't know what he's capable of feeling.
She tears his resume in half.
My brochure.
With Barry trapped under an upturned glass, the woman slides half the brochure underneath it and takes him to the window. She smiles benevolently down at Barry, who gazes up at her with wide eyes. She opens the window halfway.
There you go, little guy.
She shakes Barry out onto a leaf in the potted plants.
I'm not scared of him, but, you know, it's an allergic thing.
Hey, why don't you put that on your resume brochure?
It's not funny. My whole face could puff up.
Make it one of your special skills.
You know, knocking someone out is also a special skill.
Later, rays of bright sunlight shine through a fluffy white cloud.
Right. Bye, Vanessa.
Vanessa, next week, yogurt, right?
Yeah, sure, Ken. You know, whatever.
You could put carob chips on there.
Right.
Supposed to be less calories or something.
A drop of water splashes onto Barry's head where he sits. He gets to his feet and begins pacing across the leaf.
I gotta say something. She saved my life. I gotta say something. All right, here goes.
He flies in through the partially open window and follows Vanessa into the kitchen where he camouflages himself against a bee logo on a can of tuna. He glances back at the bee illustration. As Vanessa opens the fridge, Barry poses against a postcard featuring a strongman in a striped black and yellow suit.
What would I say?
Vanessa shuts the fridge and heads to the counter.
I could really get in trouble.
Barry flits along items on her shelf.
It's a bee law. You're not supposed to talk to a human. I can't believe I'm doing this. I've got to. Oh, I can't do it. Come on. No. Yes. No. Do it. I can't. How should I start it? You like jazz? No, that's no good. Here she comes. Speak, you fool. Hi. I'm sorry. Yes, I know. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fine. Just, I know I'm dreaming, but I don't recall going to bed.
Well, you know, I'm sure this is very disconcerting.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a bit of a surprise to me. I mean, you're a bee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am a bee, and, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing this, but they were all trying to kill me.
Uh-huh.
And if it wasn't for you, I mean, I had to thank you. It's the way I was raised.
Oh.
Vanessa jabs her hand with a fork.
That was a little weird.
I'm talking to a bee.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a bee.
Anyway.
And the bee is talking to me.
I just want you to know that I'm grateful, and I'm going to leave now.
Oh, wait. How did you learn to do that?
What?
That. The talking thing.
Oh, same way you did, I guess. Mama, dada, honey, you pick it up.
That's very funny.
Yeah. Bees are funny. If we didn't laugh, we'd cry with what we have to deal with. Anyway.
Can I, get you something?
Like what?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Coffee?
Well, I don't want to put you out unless you're making anyway.
No, it takes 2 minutes.
Really?
It's just coffee.
I hate to impose.
Don't be ridiculous.
Actually, I would love a cup.
Hey, you want a little rum cake?
I really
should. Have a little rum cake.
No, I can't.
Oh, come on.
You know, I'm trying to lose a couple micrograms here.
Where?
Well, these stripes don't help.
You look great.
I don't know if you know anything about fashion. Are you all right?
No.
She pours coffee on the floor, later on a rooftop garden.
Tie in the cab as they're flying up Madison. So he finally gets there.
Uh-huh.
He runs up the steps into the church. The wedding is on.
Yeah?
And he says, watermelon? I thought you said Guatemalan.
Uh-huh.
Why would I marry a watermelon?
Barry grins at her expectantly.
Oh! Is that a bee joke?
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that we do.
Yeah, different. So anyway, what are you gonna do, Barry?
About work? I don't know. I want to do my part for the Hive, but I can't do it the way they want.
I know how you feel.
You do?
Sure. My parents wanted me to be a lawyer or a doctor, but I wanted to be a florist.
Really?
My only interest is flowers.
Our new queen was just elected with that same campaign slogan.
A maintenance man arrives nearby and starts replacing a light bulb.
You see, if you look, see, there's my hive right there. You could see it.
Oh, you're in Sheep Meadow.
Yes, you know the turtle pond?
Yes.
I'm right off of that.
Oh, no way. I know that area. Do you know I lost a toe ring there once?
Really?
Yes.
Why do girls put rings on their toes?
Why not?
I don't know. It's like putting a hat on your knee.
Maybe I'll try that.
You are right, ma'am.
Yeah, fine. Just having two cups of coffee.
Barry sips some coffee through a tiny cocktail straw, then gazes up at Vanessa as she sits looking out at the view of the park. She glances aside and catches him staring smittenly.
Anyway, this has been great. Thanks for the coffee.
Oh, yeah, it's no trouble.
Sorry I couldn't finish it. If I did, I'd be up the rest of my life. Can I take a piece of this with me?
Sure. Here, have a crumb.
Ooh. Thanks.
Yeah.
He pockets two halves of the crumb.
All right, well, then, I guess I'll see you around. Or not, or...
Okay, Barry.
And thank you so much again for before.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was nothing.
Well, not nothing, but anyway.
He holds out a tiny four-fingered hand. Vanessa extends a finger. Reaching up, Barry clasps the edge of her fingertip. The maintenance man sees Vanessa seemingly shaking a finger through thin air. The light bulb burns out with a burst of sparks, and he sways and falls off his ladder. Now, at a hurricane survival test, two bees in lab coats consult clipboards.
This can't possibly work.
Well, he's all set to go. We may as well try it. Okay, Dave, pull a chute.
Dave pulls a chute in a wind chamber and gets knocked back against the wall. He gives a thumbs up.
Amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. It was the scariest, happiest moment of my life.
Humans. Humans. I can't believe you were with humans. Giant, scary humans. What were they like?
Huge and crazy. They talk crazy. They eat crazy, giant things. They drive around real crazy.
And do they try and kill you like on TV?
Some of them, but some of them don't.
How'd you get back?
Poodle.
Look, you did it, and I'm glad. You saw whatever you wanted to see out there. You had your experience, and now you're back. You can pick out your job, and everything can be normal.
Well.
Well? Well?
Well, I met someone.
You met someone? Was she bee-ish? Well, not a wasp. Your parents will kill you.
No, not a wasp.
Spider?
You know, I'm not attracted to the spiders. I know it. Everyone else is like the hottest thing with the eight legs and all. I can't get by that face.
So, who is she?
She's, human.
Oh, no. That didn't happen. You didn't do that. That's a bee law. You wouldn't break a bee law.
Her name's Vanessa.
Oh, boy.
She's so nice. And she's a florist.
Oh, no. You're dating a human florist.
Well, we're not dating.
You're flying outside the hive. You're talking to human beings that attack our homes with power washers and M80s. That's 1/8 of a stick of dynamite.
She saved my life. And she understands me.
This is over!
Eat this!
Barry feeds Adam cake.
This is not over! What was that?
They call it a crumb.
That was so stinging stripey!
And that's not even what they eat. That just falls off what they eat. Do you know what a Cinnabon is?
No.
It's bread.
Come here.
And cinnamon.
Be quiet!
And frosting. They heat it up.
Sit down!
Really hot!
Listen to me! We are not them. We're us. There's us.
And there's them!
Yes, but who can deny the heart that is yearning?
There's no yearning. Stop yearning. Listen to me. You have got to start thinking B, my friend. Thinking B!
Thinking B!
Several other office beasts surround him.
Thinking B! Thinking B! Thinking B!
Now, Barry lounges on a float in a pool of honey.
There he is. He's in the pool.
You know what your problem is, Barry.
I gotta start thinking, B.
Barry, how much longer is this going to go on? It's been 3 days. I don't understand why you're not working.
Well, I've got a lot of big life decisions I'm thinking about.
What life? You have no life. You have no job. You're barely a bee.
Ugh. Would it kill you to just make a little honey?
Barry, come out from under there. Your father's talking to you. Martin, would you talk to him?
Barry swims through the honey and imagines Vanessa before him, sitting on a picnic blanket in the park. Barry flies down to a picnic basket and holds up an acorn with a straw. Vanessa raises her glass with a smile. A mosquito lands on her leg and she swats it. Vanessa heads off.
You coming?
Got everything?
She sits in an ultralight.
All set.
You go ahead, I'll catch up.
Don't be too long.
She starts the yellow and black ultralight plane, then takes off. Barry watches with a smitten smile. Barry flies alongside her with his arms stretched out and banks from side to side. Vanessa mimics his moves. With her ultralight trailing pink smoke, Vanessa performs loop-de-loops in the air, forming the shape of a heart. She crashes explosively into a cliff. The charred ultralight plummets and explodes again.
Vanessa!
Barry surfaces in the pool.
We're still here, Barry.
I told you not to yell at him. He doesn't respond when you yell at him.
Then why are you yelling at me?
Because you don't listen.
I'm not listening to this.
Sorry, Mom, I've got to go.
Where are you going?
Nowhere. I'm meeting a friend.
A girl? Is this why you can't decide?
Bye.
I just hope she's bee-ish.
In the city, Barry eyes a decal in the window of a shop named Vanessa's Flowers.
So they have a huge parade of just flowers every year in Pasadena?
Oh, to be in the Tournament of Roses, that's every florist's dream. Up on a float, surrounded by flowers, crowds cheering.
Wow, a tournament. Do the roses actually compete in athletic events?
No.
They head down the sidewalk.
I've got one. How come you don't fly everywhere?
It's exhausting. Why don't you run everywhere? Isn't that faster?
Yeah, okay, I see. All right, your turn.
TiVo. You can just freeze live TV? That's insane.
What, you don't have anything like that?
We have HIVO, but it's a disease. It's a horrible, horrible disease.
Oh, my.
Oh, dumb bees!
You must just want to sting all those jerks.
We really try not to sting. It's usually fatal for us.
So you really have to watch your temper.
They enter a supermarket. Carefully.
You kick a wall, take a walk, write an angry letter and throw it out. You work through it like any emotion. Anger, jealousy, lust.
A stranger swats Barry off Vanessa's shoulder.
Oh my goodness! Are you okay?
Yeah.
Whew. What is wrong with you?
It's a bug.
Well, he's not bothering anybody. Get out of here, you creep!
What was that? A pick and save circular?
Yeah, it was. How did you know?
Felt like about 10 pages. 75 is pretty much our limit.
Boy, you've really got that down to a science.
Oh, we have to. I lost a cousin to Italian Vogue.
I'll bet.
What in the name of mighty Hercules is this?
He spots the honey aisle.
How did this get here? Cute Bee, Golden Blossom, Ray Liotta Private Select.
He shrugs.
Is he that actor?
I never heard of him. Why is this here?
For people. We eat it.
Why? You don't have enough food of your own?
Well, yes.
How do you even get it?
Well, bees make it.
I know who makes it. And it's hard to make it. There's heating and cooling and stirring. You need a whole crowning thing.
It's organic.
It's organic.
It's just honeyberry.
Just what? Bees don't know about this. This is stealing. A lot of stealing. You've taken our homes, our schools, our hospitals. This is all we have. And it's on sale? I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. I'm gonna get to the bottom of all of this!
Now, a black marker is uncapped. Barry smears lines of black ink on his face and fills in his yellow stripes.
Hey, Hector.
Barry hides behind a shelf in the loading dock.
You almost done?
Almost.
Barry's foot gets stuck in some honey.
He is here. I sense it.
Hector brandishes a box cutter, slices open a cardboard box, and takes out a jar of honey, which he then opens and sets down.
Well, I guess I'll go home now and just leave this nice honey out with no one around.
You're busted, Box Boy.
I knew I heard something, so you can talk.
Oh, I can talk. And now you're gonna start talking. Where are you getting all the sweet stuff? Huh? Who's your supplier?
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought we were all friends. The last
Hector wields a pushpin like a sword.
You're too late. It's ours now.
You, sir, have crossed the wrong sword.
You, sir, are about to be launched for my iguana, Ignacio.
Where is the honey coming from?
Barry disarms him with his stinger.
Tell me where.
Honey farms. He comes from honey farms.
Barry spins to see a Honey Farms truck leaving the loading dock. He takes off after it and flies into an alley. A burst of steam from a broken pipe restores his yellow stripes. He turns and races along the walls, emerging onto a busy street. As a truck comes straight at him, he dives beneath it. He clears the truck, flies over a taxi, zooms through a pipe on a plumbing truck, then sees himself distorted in a Bloodmobile's side mirror.
Crazy person!
A cyclist weaves through traffic at breakneck speed and zooms past him, then nears the Honey Farms truck. Barry shoots after the bicyclist, reaching for the dangling end of his backpack drawstring. He manages to grab hold with one hand, then pulls his way along the length of the drawstring. Climbing onto the backpack, Barry scales rows of cord wrapped around it. He loses his grip and topples back a few rows, but pulls himself back up. Now, using the rows of cord as a catapult, Barry launches himself through the air and lands on the Honey Farms truck's windshield, which is flecked with unmoving bugs.
Oh my, what horrible thing has happened here? Look at these faces! They never knew what hit them! And now they're on the road to nowhere!
Just keep still!
What? You're not dead?
Do I look dead? Hey man, they will wipe anything that moves! Now where you headed?
To Honey Farms. I am onto something huge here.
I'm going to Alaska. Moose blood. Crazy stuff. Blows your head off. I'm going to Tacoma.
What about you?
He really is dead.
All right.
The truck driver reaches for a control.
What is that?
Oh, no! It's a wiper! Triple blade!
Triple blade?
Jump on! It's your only chance, B! Why does everything have to be so doggone clean? How much do you people need to see? Open your eyes! Stick your head out the window!
In the truck.
NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle.
Don't kill no more bugs!
A splash of wiper fluid throws them off.
Moose blood guy!
Barry grabs an antenna while a grasshopper hangs onto another on the other side of the truck. A little bug lands facing Barry.
You hear something?
Like what?
Like tiny screaming.
Turn off the radio.
The driver switches off the radio and the antenna retracts into the hood. Barry and the little bug scramble to keep hold.
Aha!
They both lose hold and Barry lands in one of the truck's horns.
Hey, what's up, B-boy?
Hey, Blood.
Later.
And it was just an endless row of honey jars as far as the eye could see.
Wow.
So I'm just assuming wherever this honey truck goes, that's where they're getting it. I mean, that honey's ours.
Bees hang tight.
Well, we're all jammed in there. It's a close community.
Not us, man. We on our own. Every mosquito on his own.
But what if you get in trouble?
Trouble? You a mosquito. You in trouble. Nobody likes you. It's all smacking. People see a mosquito, smack, smack.
At least you're out in the world. You must meet a lot of girls.
Mosquito girls try to trade up. Get with a moth, dragonfly. Mosquito girl don't want no mosquito.
The Bloodmobile drives by.
You got to be kidding me. Moose Blood's about to leave the building. So long, B. Hey, guys! I knew I'd catch y'all down here! Did you bring your crazy straw?
Later, the truck drives through a gate and into a yard where an identical truck sits parked. Barry somersaults out of the truck horn and flies onto a headlight. He stares up at a wooden sign bearing the Honey Farms logo, which features a smiling sun, large purple flowers, and three stout beehives.
Then we throw it in some jars, slap a label on it, and it's pretty much pure profit.
What is this place?
A bee's got a brain the size of a pinhead.
They are pinheads.
Barry follows two beekeepers behind a farmhouse.
Hey, check out the new smoker.
Oh, sweet. That's the one you want.
The Thomas 3000.
Smoker?
90 puffs a minute, semi-automatic. Twice the nicotine, all the tar. Couple breaths of this, knocks them right out.
Barry lands on one of their hats.
They make the honey, and we make the money.
They make the honey, and we make the money?
The beekeeper approaches a hive pallet and slides out a panel with a gloved hand.
As he sprays smoke into the box, the view descends before it, revealing several cramped apartment-like units stacked within. The resident bees keel over in fits of coughing.
Oh my.
Barry flies into one of the hive sections.
What's going on? Are you okay?
Yeah, it doesn't last too long.
How did all these bees get here? Do you know you're in a fake hive with fake walls?
Our queen was moved here. We had no choice.
This is your queen? That's a man in woman's clothes. That's a drag queen.
Other panels are removed, revealing rows and rows of identical, sparsely furnished units.
What is this?
Barry flies through the hive box and up above a tree to see hundreds of hive boxes lined across the lawns of a vast farm. A processing plant and storage units lie beyond.
Oh, no. There's hundreds of them.
Barry gapes at a passing beekeeper, then whips out a slim camera and snaps pictures as several beekeepers scrape honey off the hive frames into large tubs. Later, back at home.
Bee honey, our honey, is being brazenly stolen on a massive scale. This is worse than anything the bears have done to us, and I intend to do something about it.
Oh, Barry, stop.
Who told you that humans are taking our honey? That's just a rumor.
Do these look like rumors?
That's a conspiracy theory. These are obviously doctored photos.
Ugh. Barry, how did you get mixed up in all this?
Because he's been talking to humans.
What?
Talking to humans?
He has a human girlfriend.
Oh, Barry.
And they make out.
Make out? Barry?
We do not.
You wish you could.
Whose side are you on?
The bees.
I dated a cricket once in San Antonio. Man, those crazy legs kept me up all night. At Chihuahua.
Barry, this is what you want to do with your life?
This is what I want to do for all our lives. Nobody works harder than bees. Dad, I remember you coming home some nights so overworked, your hands were still stirring. You couldn't stop them.
I remember that.
What right do they have to our hard-earned honey? We're living on 2 cups a year. They're putting it in lip balm for no reason whatsoever.
Even if it's true, Barry, what could one bee do?
I'm going to sting them where it really hurts.
In the face.
No.
In the eye. That would really hurt.
No.
Up the nose. That's a killer.
There's only one place you can sting the humans. One place where it really matters.
Hive at 5. The Hive's only full-hour action news source.
Clips of the news show a pollen jock on fire and bees protesting bee beards.
Bee beards, no more hits.
A bear smashes a hive to bits.
With Bob Bumble at the anchor desk. Weather with Storm Singer. Sports with Buzz Larvey. And Jeanette Chung.
Bob and Jeanette sit at an anchor desk.
Good evening. I'm Bob Bumble.
And I'm Jeanette Chung.
Our top story, a tri-county bee, Barry Benson, is saying he intends to sue the human race for stealing our honey, packaging it, and profiting from it illegally.
Now an animated logo reads, Be Larry King.
Don't forget, tomorrow night on Be Larry King, we're going to have three former queens all right here in our studio discussing their new book, Classy Ladies, out this week on Hexagon. Tonight we're talking to Barry Benson. Did you ever think, I'm just a kid from the hive, I can't do this?
Larry, bees have never been afraid to change the world. I mean, what about Bee Columbus? Bee Gandhi? Bejesus?
Oh, where I'm from, you wouldn't think of suing humans. We were thinking more like stickball, candy stores.
How old are you?
Well, I want you to know that the entire bee community is supporting you in this case, which is certain to be the trial of the bee century.
Thank you, Larry. You know, they have a Larry King in the human world, too.
It's a common name. Next week on Be Larry King...
No, I mean, he looks like you, and he has a show with suspenders and different colored dots behind him.
Next week on Be Larry King...
Old guy glasses, and there's quotes along the bottom from the guest you're watching, even though you just heard him.
Bear Week next week. They're scary, they're hairy, and they're here live.
Always leans forward, pointy shoulders, squinty eyes, very Jewish.
At Vanessa's flower shop.
Look, in tennis, you attack... At the point of weakness.
But it was my grandmother, Ken. She's 81.
Honey, her backhand's a joke. I'm not gonna take advantage of that.
Quiet, please. Actual work going on here.
Is that same bee?
Yes, it is.
I'm helping him sue the human race.
What?
Oh, hello.
Hello, bee.
This is Ken.
Yeah, I remember you. Timberland, size 10 and a half. Vibram sole, I believe.
Why does he talk again?
Listen, you better go, because we're really busy working.
But it's our yogurt night.
Oh.
Vanessa shows him out.
Why is yogurt night so difficult?
In a back room.
Oh, you poor thing. You two have been at this for hours.
Yes, and Adam here has been a huge help.
Adam snoozes in an empty Cinnabon box.
How many sugars?
Just one. I try not to use the competition. Ooh. So So why are you helping me anyway?
Bees have good qualities.
Sí, certo.
And it feels good to take my mind off the shop. I don't know why, but instead of flowers, people are given balloon bouquets now.
Yeah, those are great. If you're three.
And artificial flowers.
Oh, those just get me psychotic!
Yeah, me too.
The bent stingers, the pointless pollination.
Oh, bees must hate those fake plastic things.
There's nothing worse than a daffodil that's had work done.
Well, maybe this could make up for it a little bit. You know, Barry, this lawsuit's a pretty big deal.
I guess.
Are you sure that you want to go through with it?
Am I sure? When I'm done with the humans, they won't be able to say, honey, I'm home, without paying a royalty.
They mail off a large envelope. Now a news broadcast.
Sarah, it's an incredible scene here in downtown Manhattan, where all eyes and ears of the world are anxiously waiting, because for the first time in history, we're going to hear for ourselves if a honeybee can actually speak.
At the front of a packed courtroom half occupied by bees, Vanessa sits with Barry and Adam.
What have we gotten into here, Barry?
I don't know, but it's pretty big, isn't it? I
can't believe how many humans don't have to be at work during the day.
Hey, you think these billion-dollar multinational food companies have good lawyers?
Outside, police barricades divert traffic and hold press fans at bay. A black limousine drives up to the front of the courthouse. Its license plate reads Alibi, spelled B-U-Y. 2 feet in fancy shoes step out and stomp on a passing bug.
Ooh.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I just gotta chill.
A stout, bespectacled man in suspenders and a bow tie enters the courtroom, stirring a teacup as he walks.
Well, if it isn't the bee team. Any of you boys work on this?
He tauntingly waves a honey packet.
All rise. The Honorable Judge Bumbleton presiding.
All right. Case number 4475, Superior Court of New York, Barry B. Benson versus the honey industry, is now in session. Mr. Montgomery, you're representing the 5 major food companies collectively.
A privilege.
Mr. Benson, you're representing all bees of the world?
The honey executives and jury members lean forward. Outside, hovering press helicopters tilt forward.
I'm kidding. Yes, Your Honor, we're ready to proceed.
And Mr. Montgomery, your opening statement, please.
Montgomery approaches the jury box.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my grandmother was a simple woman. Born on a farm, she believed it was man's divine right to benefit from the bounty of nature God put before us. If we were to live in the topsy-turvy world Mr. Benson imagines, just think of what it would mean. Maybe I would have to negotiate with the silkworm for the elastic in my britches. Talking bee. How do we know this isn't some sort of holographic motion picture capture Hollywood wizardry? They could be using laser beams, robotics, ventriloquism, cloning. For all we know, he could be on steroids.
The jury members nod and chat.
Mr. Benson.
Barry faces Adam, who smiles back encouragingly. Dressed in a suit and tie, Barry flies over to the jury.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there's no trickery here. I'm just an ordinary bee. And as a bee, honey's pretty important to me. It's important to all bees. We invented it. We make it. And we protect it with our lives. Unfortunately, there are some people in this room who think they can take whatever they want from us because we're the little guys. And what I'm hoping is that after this is all over, you'll see how by taking our honey, you're not only taking away everything we have, but everything we are.
Vanessa and the attending bees smile. Barry's family watches on TV.
Oh, I wish he would dress like that all the time. So nice.
Call your first witness.
So, Mr. Klaus Vanderhaeden of Honey Farms. Pretty big company you have there.
I suppose so.
And I see you also own Honeybert and Hunron!
Yes, they provide beekeepers for our farms.
Beekeeper? I find that to be a very disturbing term, I have to say. I don't imagine you employ any bee freers, do you?
No.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No?
No. Because you don't free bees. You keep bees. And not only that, it seems you thought a bear would be an appropriate image for a jar of honey.
Well, they're very lovable creatures. Yogi Bear, Fozzie Bear, Build-A-Bear?
Yeah, you mean like this?
A handler leads in a roaring bear on a leash.
Bears kill bees! How would you like his big hairy head crashing through your living room, biting into your couch, spitting out your throw pillows? Rawr! Rawr! Okay, that's enough. Take him away.
The bear lowers its arms and shuffles out of the courtroom. Vanderhayden cringes at the judge, who glowers. Later.
So, Mr. Sting, thank you for being here. Your name intrigues me, I have to say. Where have I heard it before?
I was with a band called The Police.
But you've never been a police officer of any kind, have you?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't. And so here we have yet another example of bee culture being casually stolen by a human for nothing more than a prance-about stage name.
Oh, please.
Have you ever been stung, Mr. Sting? Because I'm feeling a little stung, Sting. Or should I say, Mr. Gordon M. Sumner?
Not his real name, you idiot!
Later.
Mr. Leota, first may I offer my belated congratulations on your Emmy win for a guest spot on ER in 2005.
Thank you.
I also see from your resume that you're devilishly handsome, but with a churning inner turmoil that's always ready to blow.
I enjoy what I do. Is that a crime?
Not yet it isn't, but is this what it's come to for you, Mr. Leota? Exploiting tiny, helpless bees so you don't have to rehearse your part and learn your lines, sir?
Watch it, Benson. I could blow right now.
This isn't a good fella. This is a bad fella.
Leota attacks with his Emmy.
Why doesn't someone just step on this little creep and we can all go home?
Order. Order in this room.
You're all thinking it.
Order, I say. Please sit down.
Newspaper headlines read, Sue B, Bees to Humans, Buzz Off, and Studio Dumps Leota Project.
Well, I just think it was awfully nice of that bear to pitch in like that.
I'm telling you, I think the jury's on our side.
Are we doing everything right, you know, legally?
I'm a florist.
Right. Well, here's to a great team.
To a great team!
Ken arrives for dinner.
Well, hello.
Oh! Ken!
Hello!
I didn't think you were coming.
No, I was just late. I tried to call, but the battery.
I didn't want all this to go to waste, so I called Barry. Luckily, he was free.
Yeah.
Oh, that was lucky.
Well, there's still a little left. I could heat it up.
Yeah, heat it up, sure. Whatever.
Ken watches through narrowed eyes as Barry cuts his food with tiny toy cutlery.
So, I hear you're quite a tennis player. I'm not much for the game myself. I find the ball a little grabby.
Ken scowls darkly.
That's where I usually sit. Right there.
Ken, Barry was looking at your resume, and he agreed with me that eating with chopsticks isn't really a special skill.
You think I don't see what you're doing?
Hey, look, I know how hard it is trying to find the right job. We certainly have that in common.
Do we?
Well, bees have 100% employment, of course, but we do jobs like taking the crud out.
That's just what I was thinking about doing.
Ken drops a knife.
I let Barry borrow your razor for his buzz. I hope that was all right.
Attempting to retrieve it, he hits his head, then presses an apple cider bottle to the bruise.
I'm gonna go drain the old stinger.
Yeah, you do that.
Barry flies in loops before Ken's face. As Ken watches, he accidentally splashes cider in his eyes. Barry rips off a piece of newspaper and heads to the bathroom. Ken slaps his forehead, accidentally aggravating the bruise. Barry washes his hands.
You know, I've just about had it with your little mind games.
What's that?
Italian Vogue.
Mamma mia, that's a lot of pages.
It's a lot of ads.
Remember what Van said? Why is your life any more valuable than mine?
That's funny, I just can't seem to recall that!
Ken swats at Barry with the magazine, but misses and falls into the bathtub. He grabs a shower head.
Smell of flowers.
Yeah? How do you like the smell?
Ken sets the temperature to lethal.
Not as much!
Yeah.
Whoa!
He aims a gush of water at Barry, who tumbles into the toilet bowl. Ken pulls down the flush handle and Barry spins in the swirling water. He grabs a fallen emery board from the edge of the toilet seat and uses it as a surfboard. He splashes Ken. Barry smoothly surfs up onto the toilet seat.
Well, a royal flush!
You're bluffing.
Am I?
Yeah! Surf's up, dude!
Oh, poo water!
Woo! Woo! That bowl is gnarly!
Except for those dirty yellow rings!
Get it! What are you doing?
You know what? I don't even like honey!
I don't need it!
We need to talk. He's just a little bee, and he happens to be the nicest bee I've met in a long time.
Long time?
What are you talking about? Are there other bugs in your life?
No, but there are other things bugging me in life, and you're one of them.
Fine. Talking bees, no yogurt night. My nerves are fried from riding on this emotional roller coaster.
Goodbye, Ken.
Oh! Ugh. And for your information, I prefer sugar-free artificial sweeteners made by man.
I'm sorry about all that.
I know it's got an aftertaste. I like it.
I always felt there was some kind of barrier between Ken and me. I couldn't overcome it. Oh, well.
Are you going to be okay for the trial tomorrow?
Oh, I believe Mr. Montgomery is about out of ideas.
Later.
We would like to call Mr. Barry Benson B to the stand.
Now, that's a good idea. You can really see why he's considered one of the very best lawyers.
A juror in a striped black and yellow sweater applauds.
Leighton, you've got to weave some magic with this jury or it's going to be all over.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Gamble. The only thing I have to do to turn this jury around is to remind them of what they don't like about bees. You got the tweezers?
Are you allergic?
Only to losing, son. Only to losing. Mr. Benson B, I'll ask you what I think we'd all like to know. What exactly is your relationship to that woman?
He points at Vanessa.
We're friends.
Good friends?
Yes.
How good do you live together?
Wait a minute. This isn't
Are
about...
Are you her little bedbug?
Hey, that's not the kind
I've
of...
seen a bee documentary or two. Now, from what I understand, doesn't your queen give birth to all the bee children in the hives?
Yeah, but...
So those aren't even your real parents.
Oh, Barry.
Yes, they are.
Hold me back.
You are an illegitimate bee, aren't you, Benson?
He's denouncing bees.
And don't y'all date your cousins?
Objection.
I'm gonna pincushion this guy.
Montgomery and Gamble share a wink as Adam flies to the lawyer.
Adam, don't! It's what he wants!
Adam sinks his stinger into Montgomery's ample rear, then falls to the floor.
Ah! Oh, I'm hit! Oh, Lordy, I'm hit!
Order! Order!
The venom! The venom is coursing through my veins!
Mr. Montgomery!
I have been failed by a winged beast of destruction. You see? You can't treat them like equals. They're striped savages. Stinging's the only thing they know. It's their way.
Adam, stay with me.
I can't feel my legs.
Oh, an angel of mercy will come forward to suck the poison from my heaving buttocks.
Please, I will have order in my court. Order, order, please.
Now a nurse brings Barry to a hospital room.
The case of the honeybees versus the human race took a pointed turn against the bees yesterday when one of their legal teams stung Leighton T. Montgomery.
Barry finds an intravenous line leading down from an inverted bottle of honey into Adam's arm. Holding a daisy in both arms, Barry flies over to his semi-conscious friend who sits propped up against a pillow, his lower body covered by a paper napkin.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Is it much pain?
Yeah.
He taps a button on a control.
I blew the whole case, didn't I?
Oh, it doesn't matter. The important thing is you're alive. You could have died.
I'd be better off dead. Look at me.
He reveals a sword-shaped sandwich pick in place of his stinger.
They got it from downstairs in a tuna sandwich. Look, there's a little celery still on it.
What was it like to sting someone?
I can't explain it. It was all adrenaline and then ecstasy.
Barry looks aside awkwardly.
All right.
You think it was all a trap?
Of course. I'm sorry. I flew us right into this. What were we thinking? Look at us. We're just a couple of bugs in this world.
What do you think the humans will do to us if they win?
I don't know.
I hear they put the roaches in motels. That doesn't sound so bad.
Adam, they check in, but they don't check out.
Oh, my.
Smoke wafts past them.
Say, could you get a nurse to close that window?
Why?
The smoke. Bees don't smoke.
Right. Bees don't smoke. Bees don't smoke, but some bees are smoking. Adam, that's it! That's our case!
It is? It's not over?
No, get up, get dressed. I've got to go somewhere. You get back to the court and stall. Stall any way you can.
Back at court, Adam holds up a paper boat.
And, assuming you've done step 29 correctly, you're ready for the tub.
The jurors, executives, and Gamble each hold paper boats of their own. Montgomery wears a neck brace.
Mr. Flamen.
Yes. Yes, yes, Your Honor.
Where is the rest of your team?
Well, Your Honor, it's interesting. You know, bees are trained to fly kind of haphazardly, and as a result, quite often we don't make very good time.
Montgomery rolls out in an oversized baby walker.
Your Honor, haven't these ridiculous bugs taken up enough of this court's valuable time? How much longer are we going to allow these absurd shenanigans to go on? They have presented no compelling evidence to support their charges against my clients who all run perfectly legitimate businesses. I move for a complete dismissal of this entire case.
Mr. Flamen, I'm afraid I'm going to have to consider Mr. Montgomery's motion.
But you can't. We have a terrific case.
Where's your proof? Where's the evidence? Show me the smoking gun!
Hold it, Your Honor! You want a smoking gun? Here is your smoking gun!
He enters with Vanessa, who shows a bee smoker.
What is that?
It's a bee smoker.
What is? This harmless little contraption? This couldn't hurt a fly, let alone a bee.
As he waves the smoker behind him with a flourish, a gust of smoke washes over the bee spectators who collapse.
Members of the jury, look at what has happened to bees who have never been asked, smoking or none. Is this what nature intended for us? To be forcibly addicted to these smoke machines in man-made wooden slat work camps? Living out our lives as honey slaves to the white man?
A black lawyer moves away from his white partners.
What are we gonna do?
He's playing the species card.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, free these bees!
The spectators and jurors throw their fists in the air as they join the bees in their chant.
Free the bees! Free the bees!
The court finds in favor of the bees!
Vanessa, we won!
You can do it! High five! Oh, sorry.
I'm okay. Vanessa, do you know what this means? All the honey is finally going to belong to the bees. Now we won't have to work so hard all the time.
Montgomery approaches.
This is an unholy perversion of the balance of nature, Benson. You'll regret this.
Barry, how much honey do you think is out there?
All right. One at a time.
Barry, who are you wearing?
My sweater's Ralph Lauren, and I have no pants.
He leaves.
What if Montgomery's right?
What do you mean?
We've been living the bee way a long time. 27 million years.
Later.
Congratulations on your victory. What are you going to demand as a settlement?
First, we're going to demand a complete shutdown of all bee work camps.
ATFH agents free captive bees.
Then we want to get back all the honey that was ours to begin with. Every last drop. We demand an end to the glorification of the bear as anything more than a filthy, smelly, big-headed, bad-breath stink machine. I believe we're all aware of what they do in the woods.
A sniper stalks a chubby yellow bear in a red shirt holding a pot of honey.
Take him out.
A tranquilizer dart hits the bear.
We'll have a little nausea for a few hours, then it'll be fine.
And we will no longer tolerate derogatory bee-negative nicknames.
But it's just a prance-about stage name.
Unnecessary inclusion of honey in bogus health products. And la-di-da human tea time snack garnishments.
Agents arrest an elderly tea drinker.
Can't breathe!
A chopper suspends a large honey drum.
Bring it in, boys!
The chopper lowers the drum onto a scaffolding, right, and an ATFH agent holds a hose to pump honey into Barry's hive. Inside, a vat in the honey factory quickly overflows.
Mr. Buswell, we just passed 3 cups, and this gallon's more's coming! I think we need to shut down!
Shut down? We've never shut down!
Buswell rushes to a mic.
Shut down honey production! Stop making honey!
2 bees in lab coats insert keys into a control panel and share a look.
Turn your key, sir!
They obey. A lid pops open over a large red button, and one of the bees slams his fist down on it. All the various moving contraptions around the factory come to a standstill, including the Krellman.
What do we do now?
Worker bees look around blankly.
Cannonball!
A stirrer bee leaps into a vat of honey and starts to sink. Later, bees flock out of the Hunnix factory. Lou watches on a monitor.
We're shutting down honey production.
Mission abort. Morning pollination and nectar detail. Returning to base.
Out in the park, the pollen jocks change course mid-flight. On a patio, a bee slicks honey on his nose and antennae and lounges on a pool chair. Several others follow suit. The honey factory stands deserted. Now, flowers in the park start to wither, their colorful petals growing dark and shriveled. At the hive, a timer ticks down and the sunbathing bees turn over in unison. A time-lapse shows the grass, flowers, and trees in the city park gradually shifting to drab shades of green and beige. At her shop, Vanessa scrawls "No More Flowers" onto the sign in the door and points to it sadly as a customer approaches. At the Hunnix factory, Barry runs up a flight of stairs and enters an office suite where Adam glumly packs up a box of belongings.
Adam, you wouldn't believe how much honey was out there.
Oh, yeah?
What's going on around here? Where is everybody?
The space is empty.
Are they out celebrating?
No, they're just home. They don't know what to do. They're laying out. They're sleeping in. I heard your Uncle Carl was on his way to San Antonio with a cricket.
At least we got our honey back.
Yeah, but sometimes I think, so what if the humans liked our honey? Who wouldn't? It's the greatest thing in the world. I was excited to be a part of making it.
Adam carries the box away.
This was my new desk. This was my new job. I wanted to do it really well. And now I can't.
He places the box in a storage area, then steps into an elevator. Left by himself, Barry looks around at the unmanned stations of the sprawling factory. Later, he visits Vanessa.
I don't understand why they're not happy. We have so much now. I thought their lives would be better. They're doing nothing. It's amazing. Honey really changes people.
You don't have any idea what's going on, do you?
What did you want to show me?
This.
She brings him to her dying rooftop garden.
What happened here?
That is not the half of it.
She points him in the direction of the park and his jaw falls open. The once vibrant trees now stand bare.
Oh no. Oh my. They're all wilting.
Doesn't look very good, does it?
No.
And whose fault do you think that is?
You know, I'm gonna guess bees.
Bees?
Specifically me. I guess I didn't think that bees not needing to make honey would affect all these other things.
It's not just flowers, fruits, vegetables. They all need bees.
Well, that's our whole SAT test right there.
So, you take away the produce, that affects the entire animal kingdom, and then, of course...
The human species? So if there's no more pollination, it could all just go south here, couldn't it?
And I know this is also partly my fault.
Vanessa holds her head in her hands and Barry follows suit.
How about a suicide pact?
How would we do it?
I'll sting you, you step on me.
That just kills you twice.
Right.
Listen, Barry. Sorry, but I gotta get going.
Seated on the edge of a small flower pot, Barry stares out at the bleak, lifeless park sprawling before him.
Had to open my mouth and talk. Vanessa?
He finds her gone. Now, Vanessa gets into a taxi.
Vanessa, why are you leaving? Where are you going?
To the final Tournament of Roses parade in Pasadena. They've moved it up to this weekend because all the flowers are dying. It's the last chance I'll ever have to see it.
Vanessa, I just want to say I'm sorry. I never meant it to turn out like this.
I know. Me neither.
The taxi drives away.
Tournament of Roses. Roses can't do sports. Wait a minute. Roses? Roses? Roses! Vanessa!
He flies alongside the taxi.
Barry?
Roses are flowers!
Yes, they are!
Flowers! Bees! Pollen!
I know! That's why this is the last parade!
Maybe not! Could you ask him to slow down?
Could you slow down?
Barry veers in and lands in the change box.
Barry!
Okay, I made a huge mistake. This is a total disaster, and it's all my fault.
Yes, it kind of is.
I've ruined the planet, and I wanted to help you with your flower shop. Instead, I've made it worse.
Actually, it's completely closed down.
Oh, I thought maybe you were remodeling. Nonetheless, I have another idea, and it's greater than all my previous great ideas combined.
I don't want to hear it.
Oh! All right, here's what I'm thinking. They have the roses have the pollen. I know every bee, plant, and flower bud in this park. All we gotta do is get what they've got back here with what we've got.
Bees.
Park.
Pollen.
Flowers.
Repollination.
Across the nation!
Later.
All right, Tournament of Roses, Pasadena, California. They got nothing but flowers, floats, and cotton candy. Security will be tight.
I have an idea. Vanessa Bloom, FTD. Official floral business. Oh, it's real.
Sorry, ma'am. That's a nice brooch, by the way.
Thank you. It was a gift.
Barry poses as her brooch.
Then once we're inside, we just pick the right float.
Vanessa spots a float.
How about the Princess and the Pea?
Yeah.
I could be the princess and you
yes,
could be
I think
the pea.
I've got it.
Barry finds a woman dressed as the princess.
Sorry I'm late. Where should I sit?
What are you?
I believe I'm the pea.
The pea? It's supposed to be under the mattresses.
Not in this fairy tale, sweetheart.
I'm gonna go talk to the marshal.
You do that. This whole parade is a fiasco.
Vanessa takes her place.
Let's see what this baby'll do.
He hotwires the engine.
Hey, what are you doing?
The float speeds away.
Then all we do is blend in with traffic. Without arousing suspicion.
They plow through a wall and swerve down a freeway.
And once we're at the airport, there's no stopping us.
Stop, security. Did you and your insect pack your own float?
Yes.
Has the float been in your possession the entire time?
Yes.
Would you remove your shoes and everything in your pockets? Can you remove your stinger, sir?
That's part of me.
I know. Just having some fun. Enjoy your flight.
The rolled-up, flower-laden float rides a baggage conveyor belt onto a plane, which later soars through the clouds.
And then, if we're lucky, we'll have just enough pollen to do the job.
On board, Barry uses a laptop.
Can you believe how lucky we are? We have just enough pollen to do the job. I think this is gonna work, Vanessa.
It's got to work.
Attention, passengers. This is Captain Scott. I'm afraid we have a bit of bad weather in the New York area. And
looks like we're going to be experiencing a couple of hours' delay.
Barry, these are cut flowers with no water. They'll never make it.
I gotta get up there and talk to these guys.
Be careful.
Barry flies over to the cockpit.
Hey, can I get some help with this Sky Mall magazine? I'd like to order the talking inflatable ear and nose hair trimmer.
A flight attendant opens the door. Barry camouflages himself on a black and yellow caution sign.
Excuse me, Captain, I'm in a real situation here.
What'd you say, Hal?
I didn't say anything.
Ah! Me!
Oh, no, don't freak out! There's a chance, my entire species...
The captain points a handheld vacuum cleaner at Barry, turns it on, and lunges around his co-pilot, Hal.
What are you doing?
Barry lands on the co-pilot's head. The vacuum sucks off Hal's toupee.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute! I'm an attorney!
Who's an attorney?
Don't move.
The captain knocks Hal against a button which releases a life raft. It knocks the captain out.
Oh, Barry.
Later.
Good afternoon, passengers. Your captain speaking. Would a Miss Vanessa Bloom and 24B please report to the cockpit? And please hurry!
Vanessa enters the cockpit to find the downed pilots.
What happened here?
I tried to talk to them, but then there was a dustbuster, a toupee, a life raft exploded. Now one's bald, one's in a boat, and they're both unconscious.
Is that another bee joke?
No! No one's flying the plane!
This is JFK Control Tower, Flight 356. What's your status?
This is Vanessa Bloom. I'm a florist from New York.
Where's the pilot?
He's unconscious, and so is the co-pilot.
Not good. Is there anyone on board who has flight experience?
As a matter of fact, there is.
Who's that?
Barry Benson.
From the honey trial?
Oh, great. Vanessa, this is nothing more than a big metal bee. It's got giant wings, huge engines.
I can't fly a plane.
Why not? Is it John Travolta a pilot?
Yes.
How hard could it be?
Wait a minute. Barry, we're headed into some lightning.
At Barry's house, Adam stuffs his mouth with whipped cream.
This is Bob Bumble. We have some late-breaking news from JFK Airport, where a very suspenseful scene is developing. Barry Benson, fresh off his stunning legal victory, is now attempting to land a plane loaded with people, flowers, and an incapacitated flight crew.
Flowers?
Well, we have an electrical storm in the area and two individuals at the controls of a jumbo jet with absolutely no flight experience.
Just a minute, Mr. Ditchwater. There's a honeybee on that plane.
Oh, I'm quite familiar with Mr. Benson's work and his no-account compadres. Haven't they done enough damage already?
But isn't he your only hope right now?
Come on, technically a bee shouldn't be able to fly at all.
The wings are too small, their bodies are too big.
Hey, hold on a second. Haven't we heard this a million times?
The surface area, the wings, and the body mass doesn't make sense.
Get this on the air.
You got it.
Stand by.
We're going live.
Yeah.
The way we work may be a mystery to you, because making honey takes a lot of bees, doing a lot of small jobs. But let me tell you something about a small job. If you do it really well, it makes a big difference. More than we realized. To us, to everyone.
That's why I want to get bees back to doing what we do best, working together. That's the bee way. We're not made of jello.
We get behind a fellow. Black and yellow.
Now Barry guides Vanessa with his arms held out at his sides.
Left, right, down, hover.
Hover?
Forget hover.
You know what? This isn't so hard. Beep, 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 beep.
A flash of lightning shoots through the plane, frying its controls.
Barry, what happened?
Wait a minute. I think we were on autopilot that whole time.
That may have been helping me.
And now we're not.
It turns out I cannot fly a plane.
In the hive, Lou addresses the assembled pollen jocks.
All of you, let's get behind us, fella. Move it out!
They take flight, followed by hundreds of worker bees. Meanwhile, the plane veers through thick clusters of dark storm clouds toward a patch of sunlight.
Our only chance is if I do what I would do, and you copy me with the wings of the plane!
You don't have to yell!
I'm not yelling! We happen to be in a lot of trouble here!
It's very hard to concentrate with that panicky tone in your voice!
It's not a tone! I'm panicking!
Now, several units of bees in arrowhead formations arrive at the airport and swoop past the air traffic control tower.
Vanessa, pull yourself together. Listen to me. You have got to snap out of it.
You 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 snap out of it.
They slap each other repeatedly and the plane dips. The bee squadrons emerge from the clouds and move to form a gigantic arrowhead as they approach the plane. They take position beneath it, supporting its weight on their shoulders. A view moves away from the plane to reveal countless bees coating its underbelly. The plane rises smoothly through the air.
You snap out of it!
You snap out of it! Hold it!
Why, come on, it's my turn.
How's the plane flying?
I don't know. Hello?
Hey, Benson, have you got any flowers for a happy occasion in there?
The pollen jocks!
They do get behind a fellow.
Black and yellow.
Hello. All right, you two, what do you say we drop this tin can on the blacktop?
What blacktop? Where? I can't see anything, can you?
No, nothing. It's all cloudy.
Come on, you gotta think bee, Barry.
On the tarmac, Adam leads a fleet of bees in a series of arm signals.
Thinking bee! Thinking bee! Wait a minute. I think I'm feeling something.
What?
I don't know, but it's strong and it's pulling me. Like a 27-million-year-old instinct. Bring the nose of the plane down.
The plane approaches the airport where the bees perform synchronized moves.
What in the world is on the tarmac?
Get some lights on that!
Floodlights reveal a pulsing black and yellow flower comprised of the dancing bees.
Vanessa, aim for the flower.
Okay.
Cut the engines.
Cut the engines?
We're going in on bee power. Ready, boys?
Affirmative.
Vanessa turns off the engines.
Good, good. Easy now. That's it. Land on that flower. Ready, boys? Full reverse.
Spin it around.
The plane hovers at a floral logo on a plane.
Not that flower, the other flower.
Which flower?
That flower.
I'm aiming at the flower.
That's a fat guy in a flowered shirt. I mean the giant black and yellow pulsating flower made of millions of bees. Pull forward, nose down, bring your tail up. Rotate around it.
Oh, this is insane, Barry.
This is the only way I know how to fly.
Am I cuckoo, ca-choo, or is this plane flying in an insect-like pattern?
Get your nose in there. Don't be afraid of it. Smell it. Full reverse. Easy. Just drop it. Be a part of it. Aim for the center. Now drop it in. Drop it in, woman.
The plane lands safely amidst the dispersing bees. Countless flowers burst out from the cargo hold. In the cabin, passengers glance around impatiently.
Come on already.
They spring up to grab their luggage. Vanessa descends an emergency slide.
You taught me how to fly!
Yes! No high five!
Right.
Barry, it worked! Did you see the giant flower?
What giant flower? Where? Of course I saw the flower! That was genius, man! Genius!
Thank you.
But we're not done yet.
Smiling, Barry flies in a large swooping arc up to one of the plane's wings. He addresses the throng of bees on the tarmac.
Listen, everyone! This runway is covered with the last pollen from the last flowers available anywhere on Earth. That means this is our last chance. We're the only ones who make honey, pollinate flowers, and dress like this. If we're gonna survive as a species, this is our moment. So what do you all say? Are we gonna be bees? Or just Museum of Natural History keychains?
We're bees!
Keychain!
Then follow me! Accept keychain!
Hold on, Barry. Here, you've earned this.
The three pollen jock buddies slip a jacket over Barry's shoulders and pass him a helmet. He gazes at his reflection in the visor.
Yeah!
Vanessa gives him two thumbs up and he dons the helmet.
I'm a pollen jock, and it's a perfect fit. All I gotta do are the sleeves.
One of the jocks tosses him a nectar collector.
Oh, yeah.
That's our Barry.
Barry and his fellow pollen jocks swoop down to the flowers.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say, it's all right.
Barry and the other jocks press buttons labeled pollen on their nectar packs, and the gizmo starts sucking in pollen from the flowers.
Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here.
With their collectors filled to capacity with golden yellow grains of pollen, the jocks take to the sky. The air traffic controllers up in their tower cheer the bees on as they resume their arrowhead formations and fly away. Later, they flock toward the city park.
Little darling, the smile's returning to the faces.
Barry breaks away from the group and flies low over Vanessa's flower shop. He presses a button as he flies, and the collector ejects pollen over 9 flowers outside, instantly rejuvenating them to their former glory. At the park, a fleet of jocks create a golden wake of pollen as they pass a boy.
The bees are back!
As the squadron flies over the flower fields and among trees, their restoration appears to happen instantly, covering the park in vibrant color. The restoration spreads rapidly.
Anybody needs to make a call, now's the time. I got a feeling we'll be working late tonight.
At the Hunnix factory, Adam dons a finger-shaped helmet and takes his place on the Krellman. All around him, the factory buzzes with activity. Now, the flower shop sign reads, Vanessa and Barry, flowers, honey, legal advice.
And have a great afternoon. Can I help? Who's next? Who's next? Would you like some honey with that?
Sure.
It is be approved.
In an office, Barry faces a cow.
Milk, cream, cheese, it's all me. And I don't see a nickel. Sometimes I just feel like a piece of meat.
I had no idea.
Barry, I'm sorry, have you got a moment?
Would you excuse me? My mosquito associate here will be able to help you.
Sorry I'm late.
He's a lawyer too?
Ma'am, I was already a blood-sucking parasite. All I needed was a briefcase.
Have a great afternoon. Barry, I just got this huge tulip order for a wedding, and I can't get them anywhere.
No problem, Fanny. Just leave it to me.
You're a lifesaver, Barry. Can I help? Who's next? Who's next?
All right. Scramble, jocks. It's time to fly.
Thank you, Barry.
Passing by, Ken sees the shop sign.
Oh, that bee is living my life!
Let it go, Kenny.
When will this nightmare end?
Let it all go.
Now, Barry flies the clear, sunny sky with his fellow pollen jocks.
Beautiful day to fly.
Sure is.
Between you and me, I was dying to get out of that office.
As they reach a cluster of kites, Barry flies through a black and yellow flower-shaped box kite. Cut to black. Words appear in yellow. The end. Titles appear against flower and beehive-inspired patterns in shades of yellow and orange while cartoon bees flit about. Directed by Simon J. Smith, Steve Hickner. Produced by Jerry Seinfeld, Christina Steinberg. Written by Jerry Seinfeld and Spike Ferriston, and Barry Martyr and Andy Robin. Music by Rupert Gregson Williams, executive music producer Hans Zimmer. Editor, Nick Fletcher, ACE. Production designer, Alex McDowell, RDI. Floating balloons bear more titles. Visual effects supervisor, Doug Cooper. Art direction and character design, Christophe Latrette. Associate producer, Cameron Stedney. A black and yellow sign reads, Bee Crossing. Head of story, David Pimentel. A pair of windshield wipers glides across our view. Head of character animation, Fabio Lignini. Head of layout, Noel L. Meyer. Letters unscramble as they bounce on a spiderweb. Production managers, Tony Casanella, Devin R. Latonder. Artistic supervision, animation, Lyne Anderson, Anthony Gray, John Hill, Gabe Hordos. Artistic supervision, lighting, Eric Fernandez, Michael McNeil, Michael Nechi, Aaron Smith, Pablo Valle. Artistic supervision, modeling, Artie Johnson, surfacing, Sabrina M. Regal, effects, Mahesh Ramasubramanian, character effects, Damon Crow. Artistic supervision, final layout, Richard Sheba, character technical direction, Sandy Cow, Kevin Matthew Ox, technical direction, Roberto A. Calvo, matte painting, Ron Brown. Supervising sound editors, Will Files, Michael Silvers, sound mixing, Andy Nelson, Anna Belmer, casting by Leslie Feldman, CSA, co-producer Mark Swift, additional screenplay material by Chuck Martin, Tom Papa. Credits roll.
got to start thinking B, my friend. Thinking B.
Me?
Thinking B. Thinking B. Get far and start thinking B.
Gee.
Flying here and buzzing there.
I'm loving the views.
Listen to me, cousin. Every buzzer must use to...
Copyright 2007 DreamWorks Animation, LLC. All rights reserved. DreamWorks Animation, LLC is the author and creator of this motion picture for the purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto, and for the purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution.
I'm sorry, everyone. Can we stop here?
Oh, Barry.
Look, I'm not making a major...
Stars form an arch over a distinctive pyramid-like mountain, distributed by Paramount, a Viacom company. A boy sits in the crook of a crescent moon with his fishing rod, DreamWorks Animation SKG.